The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, this is the Bears Coaches Show with Bears head coach John Fox, the coaching staff, and Bears management. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by Verizon, Miller Lite, and University of Phoenix. Now, from Hallis Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
And a pleasant good evening, everybody, and welcome to PNC Studio here at Hallis Hall in Lake Forest, and welcome into the Bears Coaches Show featuring the head coach John Fox, Jeff Joniak, with you. Until 6, make that 7:30 tonight as we get started, as the Bears get back into the mode of getting ready for the next opponent in this one, a big one, the Seattle Seahawks next Sunday, the first road trip for the Bears, and a loss to Arizona yesterday. We'll break it down now with the head coach. And coming up later in the program, Bears running back coach Dan Drayton will join the program as well. How you doing? You all right?
Doing good. Got a chance to watch the tape, clean up some of our errors, and get ready for Seahawks.
What'd you see?
Well, I think, our effort and, staying into the game, all the things that you kind of look for whenever you have a loss, I think we're clean. We just have to execute better. I don't think losing our starting quarterback right before half was a real benefit, but you have to adjust and move on. So I think that's something that we'll look at this week as we evaluate Jay's injury. And, we've got some other injuries that we'll be looking at. Hopefully no more Wednesday.
New ones or just the ones you're still working through from the week
seven?
Oh, just
guys that weren't active last week.
Okay. Yeah, don't scare me now.
No.
Don't want to hear any more injuries. But, this quote I saw from Bill O'Brien, his team also 0-2 down in Houston. He said, 0-2, he goes, the league is about adversity. That's the quote, and no truer words have been spoken. Everybody's got something.
Yeah, I think, there's a lot of teams 0-2. There was teams last year that were 0-2 that actually finished pretty well. So, we'll take that approach. We need to get better, and I believe we will.
The message being spoken, obviously it's not for the benefit so much of answering questions from the press corps and so forth, but your guys have to think that and believe that also.
No doubt. I think,
so how do you get there? How do you get there?
Well, nobody comes rescues you. You can talk about injuries. You can talk about adversity. You can talk about morale. All that stuff really doesn't mean much. It's what you do and what you do on Sundays. And I think, our goal will be to come back here Wednesday when we form back up again and, go about our business in preparation in the week's work. And that usually leads to how you play.
As a head coach, when you stand before your team, you've done it for so many years, three decades almost in terms of your coaching career. Does the message, how do you keep the cliche out and get to the essence when you're talking to those guys eyeball to eyeball, standing in front of them in the meeting room after, after games, win or lose? What do you come up with?
Just very honest. This game's about what to do, how to do it, meaning the technique you do it, and be able to operate under pressure. And I think where you gain and get better and gain the confidence it takes to do that under pressure is in practice, in preparation. So we have to do a better job of coaching it, and our players have to do a better job of executing it.
6:33 here on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM with John Fox. So you had said it today, Jay Cutler, strained hamstring. As you looked at the play, he's got to try. He's got to try to make the stop on the play, and that's the one thing that probably makes coaches cringe across the league because a bunch of quarterbacks are hurt in the first 2 weeks of the season already for various reasons. But in that situation, you got to go try and make the tackle.
Yeah, I think
no way not.
Yeah, I mean, what would be the reaction if he stood there and watched him?
He'd be ripped.
Yes, yeah. So, again, these guys are all competitors, and you don't want the guy to go blow up a wedge or something if there's two linemen coming down there at him. But I think it was a legit effort that he tried to get the guy out of bounds and wasn't able to do it, and strained a hamstring in the process.
It sounds like, from what you had to say earlier today, and some national reports think they have the information already on how long he may or may not be out, but it sounds more short-term than long-term. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, it's really simple. I mean, it's very simple. If he's healthy, he plays and starts. If he's not, Jimmy Clausen is. I don't think it's a mystery. I don't think the Seahawks are wondering what might happen. And, it's one of the two things, and you plan for both.
I'll tell you, when you mentioned coming in, when you talk to your team about games, win or lose, and stand before them, and, how you overcome some things, boy, Jimmy Clausen and any backup quarterback out there, when you're thrown into that situation, Nothing simple about it, but over the course of the series that he started to execute, did you see some settling down and better communication and, you know, a deep breath, so to speak, for Jimmy?
Well, I think it was, you know, any live rep is good experience. I think, you know, there's no doubt that Jimmy, given the game plan from day one, if he's the guy, just like Jay, we'd expect, you know, any player, you know, whether it's whoever's filling in for Alshon, you know, it's part of the game. You know, you're one play away from being the guy. You have to prepare that way and be ready in case you're called upon. You know, and Jimmy will be the same way if he's called upon.
Your familiarity with him, obviously bringing him into the league, does that help you understand him and how to get him ready in any way, or is that too much time passed?
Yeah, I think he was a rookie. You know, I think any rookie, you know, pushed into that situation is tough. And, you know, he's grown a lot as a player. I mentioned that when we re-signed him. And, you know, this is a new offense. It's new people. You know, Adam Gase didn't coach him in Carolina. You know, so it's, you know, you can draw from it. But the reality is, you know, he's a different player now than he was way back then.
Well, the reps, assuming that he does get those this week, would be extremely helpful for anybody, obviously, because, you know, and is there any way to avoid that situation in the NFL? It's often a conversation piece when backup quarterbacks got to go in because they don't get their reps. What do you do? I mean, well, that's the situation you're in, but everybody's in the same situation. Is there any better plan that anyone's ever come up with trying to get a backup quarterback ready in a case like that on Sunday?
There's no way. You know, I mean, it's and that's true of any position.
Yeah.
You know, I think I think the quarterback's probably a little bit tougher position as far as knowing anything. I mean, you know, just having the cadence right. You know, we had some false starts. That backup quarterback's cadence is different than the starter. Everybody, you know, has a different rhythm to it. And so, you know, even from that standpoint, it's an adjustment for everybody.
It's got to be a grit your teeth moment when it's happening, though. You know it could, right? The false starts and everything with something like that. That's a tough one for coaches.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's tough for players, too.
Yeah.
You know, it's a whole different person, a whole different sound. It's a whole different rhythm. You know, but those are things that we need to practice and get cleaned up.
David Fales on the practice squad right now, potentially coming up.
Well, you know, as I told everybody, you know, is we'll get the form back up on Wednesday. Right now we're game planning for the Seahawks, and, you know, we'll figure that out, and, you know, we'll see the availability.
Sounds good. Now, defensively, we heard from Jared Allen today. He mentioned a couple, you know, three things: penalties, red zone efficiency by the opposition, third down defense. Pretty much sums up the situation defensively yesterday.
Yeah, I think so. I think, and really just execution, you know, even just technique-wise. I mean, we had, you know, some pretty significant pass interference penalties down the field that are, you know, they're like big plays. I mean, they're 40-yard, you know, change of field position. So, you know, those are technique things, being in the right position versus not being in the right position.
And some questionable.
Well,
I say that.
Hey, you have to overcome
I watched
a lot.
It again.
Jeff, to win games in this league, you have to overcome a lot, and sometimes that's part of it.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
Bears are blitzing McClellan, and there's the pass batted in the air and intercepted by Jared Allen at the 12. Jared Allen up with it as the Bears block the pass. Jared Allen with the pick. What a turn of events that is.
It sure was. At the moment, his sixth career interception, play of the week, brought to you by McDonald's, proud partner of the Chicago Bears, here with Bears head coach John Fox. And in addition to that play, a very good play, and, you know, I don't know who was, Zach Zabin was interviewing one of the guys after the game, and Jared was telling him, you know, he saw it on tape. He saw it on tape, timed it up, looked him right in the eye, made the play. It would have been a huge moment if you could punch it in, you know. And then I don't know if it was before or after the fumbled punt return, but those are two after, yeah, so two great moments. And that'll come, right?
I think, you know, that was obviously a big play. And, you know, the unfortunate thing was it was right after Jay got hurt, and our first two possessions afterwards for Jimmy were, you know, both red area possessions. So it was after the fumble punt was a great play by Jacquez to recover it. And then same thing with the Jared Allen play. So, you know, it's just kind of the things that happen in a game, and hopefully we can react better this week.
And Jared spoke at length today about, you know, sky's not falling. It's all about execution. You know, that's the message from one of the leaders of the team.
Yeah, and there's no doubt. You know, it's about performing on Sundays, and you get that ability and confidence and understanding of the opponent and what you're doing during the week of preparation.
The guys who may have been here for a while on the roster's changed dramatically, even in the last couple of years before you got here. You know, how do you, though, help them not feel like the sky's falling and that, oh, here we go again type of thing? Because it's been a stretch now. They haven't won games.
Well, I think, you know, you got that, you know, really, I got that question in our press conference after the game about morale. You know, I mean, you know, these things are one-week seasons every week. And so you can't change what's behind you. We're 0-2. That's the reality of our situation. And now to change that, it's going to start Wednesday. You know, it started today, actually, viewing the tape, learning from your mistakes, and, you know, then moving on. So I think, you know, we got a tough-minded group. They'll be fine. You know, they just have to put more work into it, and that's how you get wins out of it.
You got any good 0-2 stories?
We were 0-4. I think I mentioned, you know, even to the media, you know, and won 11 of our next 12. So our Super Bowl season in Carolina, we lost 3 in a row, all right, in our stretch. So everybody has that, you know, during a season. You're going to have, you know, slumps or down spots or adversity, and you have to overcome it.
Here's what happens. You over-evaluate one way or another week one. It happens in every city, right?
No doubt.
Pretty much. But then if you do go 2-0 or 0-2, well, here's the up-and-coming team at 2-0, and here's the team, you know, these guys, and then they go into the percentages of getting the playoffs and stuff. But a two-game losing streak in late October, or in my opinion, it's much worse when it's in November and December, when teams are really starting, the real good teams, they know how to take care of business in November and December, and they get themselves primed for playoffs. From your experience, do you see it that way? Do you look at the season that way?
Well, we break it down into quarters, you know, and our goal is to be 3-1 in each quarter, you know. So we're 0-2. We have two games left in this quarter, you know, but the most important one's the Seattle Seahawks in Seattle. That's where all the focus is, and that's, you know, what we're looking for as we prepare for them.
Back to Jared Allen. Several hits on the quarterback. He was getting there. The ball was just coming out. He says, you know, maybe some subtle things he could do, or the team-wide that just can close that distance and make it a little quicker. Do you see it that way also? I mean, they did hit him pretty good.
Well, there's no question that, you know, it's the best pass defense in the world is a pass rush. And I think, you know, the coverage, tighter coverage to make them hold the ball a little longer helps the rush get there. You know, if the coverage is not so clean, you know, a guy getting beat at the line of scrimmage and rushing the quarterback's throw helps. So the bottom line is just playing pass defense. I think third down is where that's actually the most critical, and we haven't done very well in those situations, and it's an area I think we'll improve on as we go.
And you've also indicated, you know, you kind of look at the beginning of this season, you know, you got to grow into it a little bit, right? So you're putting guys out there. You had a couple of, the dime package of Bryce Callahan. No one really knows anything about Bryce Callahan. He's out there. You got Terrence Mitchell in there a time or two as well for some relief purposes. So it's still a little bit get to know you too. So some of the younger guys, see what you got.
Yeah, well, I mean, lots made of, you know, guys got hurt in this game, or guys that have been out. You know, I think, you know, there's a chance come Wednesday that we might get Tracy Porter back. You know, so I don't know that yet, but we'll evaluate it and report it on Wednesday.
All right. Bears All Access is a radio show brought to you by Sports Authority this Wednesday at 6 p.m. on WSCR, 670 a.m., part of the Chicago Bears network of shows.
Back to throw. They've got a coverage. 15, 10, racing. Dunham's in. Touchdown. Broken coverage, Arizona. And Jay Cutler pays them with a touchdown. 48 yards. Josh Bellamy streaking on touchdown the left sideline.
Turns out to be the first catch in Josh Bellamy's career, and it's a 48-yard touchdown. I was apoplectic because, hey, I saw a broken coverage. I knew it was going to be a touchdown. That's the easiest catch you'll ever have right there, right?
Well, hey, it's you know, that's what you look for, and Jay did a good job of recognizing it and put a good ball, you know, to Josh, and Josh did a great job finishing it.
A little bunch coverage, grouping to the left, and Patrick Peterson with a blown coverage for the Arizona Cardinals. And I'll give him the player of the game, brought to you by Xfinity for that touchdown catch, the first of his NFL career. Here with John Fox here for a few more minutes before we welcome in Stan Drayton, the Bears running back coach. The Seahawks team last night, they go into Green Bay in that big NFC championship rematch, and everybody knew it was going to be high emotion and everything. So the Seahawks battled, but they are still one tough football team to deal with. They know how to win. They got a lot of things going in their direction, namely this quarterback by the name of Russell Wilson. So you know him very well.
Yeah, I think I've spent some time in the Carolinas and when he was at NC State, so I know a lot about him. He's a tremendous competitor. We played him in a Super Bowl 2 years ago. So it's a good football team. This will be their home opener. It's not exactly an easy place to play. So we'll have our work cut out for us, but feel good about the mindset and where we're headed.
What's the best thing to do to mute that crowd?
You know, I can promise you the conditions we'll practice in all week, that stadium cannot be louder. You know, the difference is, you know, they're a pretty good football team that you're going to be across from. So it's, you know, I've never really grieved too much of where you play. It's who you're playing.
At the same time, there is ways to take the starch out of the crowd a little bit. And one of them, the great thing on the road is if you can run the ball. If you can run the ball on a team on the road, that'll take some of the diciness out of it, right?
Well, it does help. You know, I think, you know, it's never easy duty. They are a good defense. But, you know, balance is going to be critical, and especially on the road.
On that team, blocking Michael Bennett, is that really one of the most key things? Because it seems like, you know, in the Super Bowl he did it, and then last night he was blocked and he's still making plays, knocking the guy down and able to get through the line of scrimmage. So what do you think of the ability that he has up there on front? Is he a guy you got to circle?
Well, there's no doubt you have to know where he is, and he moves around a lot. He plays left and right. He plays inside even in their rush package on third down. So they do a great job of moving people around, but they have really good team speed on defense, not just Michael. I'm not taking anything away from him, but, you know, they've got excellent team speed on defense.
Yeah, a lot of stars on that team. Bobby Wagner, Earl Thomas, Richard Sherman, you name it. No Cam Chancellor for the moment anyway in a contract dispute. In addition to Wilson, you got Marshawn Lynch. So get ready for some physicality in this one, right?
There's a reason they represented the NFC in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Do you see the uniform and you go, oh,
no,
a little bit?
No, you know, really the difference in this league is very minimal. And, you know, it's a matter of execution. And, you know, I think we'll learn from our first two games and move on to Seattle.
And that was something else that Jared brought up, you know, today. Hey, he says, you know, for fans and media, and he goes, I hate to break it to you, but, you know, there's not a big difference between 5-11 and 11-5 when you break it all down over the course of a season, because you need to make 5 or 6 plays a game, win or lose, whether the bad ones or good ones, and that determines the outcomes.
No doubt. And that's what makes this league so popular and probably the greatest sport on the planet.
No doubt. You're leaving Friday. And that seems to be now the new thing. Arizona did it, obviously, this past week, too. The benefits of it, given the time changes, is that why try to keep them on a clock or just that long distance? What's the idea behind it, and do you like doing that?
Yeah, we started doing that a while back. You know, I think my first 6 years in the league, we were 3-3 on the West Coast, and this is when we were at Carolina. And when you go more than two time zones, I think you need that extra night's sleep to really get your body clock to adjust. And you know, it's critical that when you get there, you get, going west, that you get afternoon sunlight. And then when you travel more than two time zones, east is getting morning sunlight because your body operates from the sun. So that's how the clock gets set. So I found it to be good. We were 6-0 leaving on Fridays versus on Saturdays in the past. So, you know, hopefully it's beneficial.
I like that. That's a good stat. And you list just last week, you big numbers guy, right? I got a number for you. Okay, here's some good news. Even though the offense, you know, you have no Alshon this week. Jay misses 2+ quarters. You know, Kevin White not in the mix right now, making some changes in the offensive line. There's still big plays being made. You have 13 plays at 20-plus yards. It's about 1 out of every 10. I don't know if you like that ratio, but, you know, there's big plays being made offensively. Again, it just gets back down to finishing in the red zone.
Yeah, I think that's on both sides of the ball. You know, I think we haven't been as successful on defense as we need to be, and or on offense, and those are 4-point swings. So if something we can get squared away will be beneficial.
All right, John, we'll let you go. Lots of work to do for the Seattle Seahawks. Thanks for joining us. As always, coming up next, Dan Drayton, the Bears running back coach.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox. In this hour featuring running backs coach Stan Drayton. Brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by North Shore University Health System, MasterCard, and Comcast. Once again, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
First and goal, 1. Cutler on the take. The turn, the give. Jeremy Langford, touchdown! Touchdown, Bears! Langford blasting in, and the Bears from the one.
First NFL touchdown for the Bears rookie running back Jeremy Langford. And welcome back to the Bears Coaches Show from the Chicago Bears Network Studios here, the PNC Studio at Hallis Hall. Jeff Joniak welcoming in Bears running back coach Stan Drayton. Good evening, Stan. How you doing?
I'm doing awesome.
So one of your guys gets his first NFL touchdown. That's always big. Win or lose, that's big. He'll never forget his first one, right?
No doubt about it. You know, the kid works his butt off every single day. And it was great to see him go in there and not flinch and, you know, just keep the ball moving for us. And obviously, he was very excited to get his first touchdown in Soldier Field, and I'm excited for him.
Heck, he didn't flinch on that play.
No, he didn't.
I mean, he came slicing. And there were some good blocks there up front, of course. Dukas had a good block, and Kyle Long buckled his guy. Still, there was a waiting linebacker, Kevin Minter, who was somewhat unblocked. He came over. He had to get down low. He had the leverage, and he snuck in.
Hey, by job description. That happens at time, and it happens a lot. So.
What I also loved on that drive, and he got a whole drive. I don't know if that was the plan or not to help give Matt a little blow, but also, you know, to get see what he got, you know, see what he's doing.
Well, you know, at this point in Matt's career, he's got to make sure that we have a good stable of backs behind him that can kind of take the pressure off, you know. Long term, I think that's going to help Matt. You know, he's very explosive. Matt, we're talking Matt. Matt's very explosive. Obviously, he's been in a fight before. And being an older back at this point, you know, maybe not. Don't want him to take all those reps, you know. So some guys have got to step up, and we, as a coaching staff, need to find out who that's going to be.
So Langford got six carries on that drive, but maybe one of the unknowns or one of the areas where a rookie running back needs to be evaluated is in pass pro. So he did a heck of a job on that drive on a blitz pickup, did he not?
He did.
Against Minter.
No doubt about it. And, you know, there's obviously a size differential there, and hey, you know, if you're going to play in this league, you better be able to protect your quarterback. And, you know, the way we think about it around here, if you can't protect your quarterback, you don't really belong out there.
And I love Jaquizz Rodgers.
Yeah.
We've had backs of his size and stature here in the past, but he's thick. And even on that punt muff, you know, he's hard to deal with. He is a strong guy, isn't he?
He is a rugged football player. You know, don't let the size fool you. I mean, when you sit there and you watch him in pass pro, you watch him at the junction point. I mean, he is delivering the blow. Has natural leverage, obviously, at 5'6", but he just brings the wood.
Oh, he's going to be angry now because he's listed at 5'7".
5'6" all day.
5'6" all day, and he disappears in a cloud, you know, when he gets any run. He likes running between the tackles, so.
No doubt about it.
He's a joy to have on the team, Jaquizz Rodgers, here with Stan Drayton at 7:06 on WBBM, breaking down the Bears' loss to the Arizona Cardinals and looking ahead to the Seattle Seahawks tonight as well with Stan. Tell us a little bit about how you make that transition from college back into NFL back, because if you're not able to do the pass pro,
yeah.
I mean, you're really going to have a hard time getting on the field because you have to do it. So with Langford, what are the fundamentals that you have to get in these guys' heads right away? In addition to the want to, there's got to be other aspects of it.
Right. Well, you know, coming from college, most college programs only have maybe 2 to 3 protection schemes, period. You know, and so when you go into this league, I mean, we're going to throw a playbook full of protections at you, and we're going to ask you to execute them at full speed. And I think a lot of success that happens in pass pro is anticipation. You know, first of all, you got to know exactly what it is you're doing. We use safeties as indicators quite a bit, and you got to be able to anticipate and meet a defender at the line of scrimmage as best you can. And we feel as though if we can meet a blitzer at the line of scrimmage, we'll have a greater chance of success as opposed to meeting them in the backfield. And obviously, it's all about matchups in this league, so you better study some demeanor. What kind of rusher is he? Is he a bull rusher? Is he finesse? You got to know that going in. What are your disadvantages? Long arm guys versus a short arm guy. You know, so we study this. You know, this is something that we put a lot of time and work in, and once we get it identified, we work it on the practice field.
Yeah, it's hard to believe because 2 to 3 versus who knows how many here.
That's right.
Because it's a study now. It's a study. Two or three in college. That's amazing. I didn't even know that.
Oh, yeah.
You would know. You were at Ohio State and had lots of experience in the college game. We'll get into that, too, here in a moment with Stan Drayton. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, covering the world of Bears football on and off the field with Anthony Adams and Lauren Screeden, brought to you by Jimmy John's, airing every Sunday night at 11:05 on Fox 32 Chicago, or go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears.
The Bears Coaches Show with running backs coach Stan Drayton and WBBM's Jeff Jodiak continues.
We got to do better in the red zone. I think we all know that. We all want to score touchdowns. I mean, we're out there fighting as hard as we can, and it just didn't go our way on Sunday.
And that's Eddie Royal, Bears receiver. Earlier today here at Hallisaw, one of the biggest aggravations so far for the offense, admittedly, the red zone efficiency, and they'll continue to work at that. Jeff Joniak here on the Bears Coaches Show with Bears running back coach Stan Drayton. Anytime you don't finish in the red zone, pull your hair out, right?
Oh, you know, you get that close and you can smell it. You just got to finish.
I've rarely seen Matt, and I don't remember which instance it was, but he was visibly upset that they didn't get it in. And typically, he doesn't show that on the field. But, you know, that can wreck even the greatest of game plans if you don't finish.
Well, he's working so hard, and he's a leader of this football team, and he wants nothing but success. He sees on a daily basis how hard we work, you know, and just like anybody else, he just wants us to get better at finishing. And when we don't get that done, it frustrates all of us.
What have you learned about this man, Matt Forte?
I'll tell you what, he's very diligent in his approach, extremely intelligent football player, studies the game, you know, just a journeyman. You know, I really like how he's grown as a leader. You know, I really do. He is very unselfish in helping these rookies, not just running backs, but across this team, understand what it means to be a Bear. Very unselfish in telling the stories of the diversity, adversity that he had to go through along with this organization, and expresses freely about how much he hates to lose, and just wants to taste success, and not just for himself selfishly, but for this entire team. And for that, you know, it really just puts his heart on display. And so, some of that outward emotion is good, you know, but he also understands that he has to harness that. You know, this is a process. There's some good to take from some of this tough experiencing that we're going through right now. I think he understands that, and I think he's going to be great in presenting the next approach for the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, one of the things about Matt is that he has made it clear, even in passing, don't be talking about rebuild. Talk about winning now.
That's right. You know, a guy who's been through it, you know, he doesn't want to hear about, you know, this point in his career that we're in a rebuilding phase. You know, but he does understand that we are progressing towards something. And, you know, we all learn that we're going to have to pay some dues along the way. And at some point, these dues will reap some benefits for us if we respond the right way, you know. And he's a part of helping this team respond the right way.
Every room is different in every NFL city, I'd imagine. That running backs room is a small group of guys, right?
Oh, yeah.
What's it like for a new coach like yourself to come in here? And you've had NFL experience, too, with the Packers, and you've had some great success over many different college programs, to make that transition nice and neat at the beginning so it pays dividends later. How do you do that, especially with a veteran back like him and then some young guys? You got Kadeem Carey here as well.
Yeah. Well, my job is to make sure that everybody in that room knows that I'm going to work my butt off for them. You know, I have their interest in mind. You know, it's at the forefront of my thought process every single day. I also need to earn their respect in the fact that, 22 years experience, I could bring something to the table. You know, and they have some things that they still need to continue to work on. And if I sit there and I tell, for example, how great Matt is on a daily basis, then he will never get better. You know, so I don't tell him at all. I tell him on things that he continues to, you know, that he needs to continue to work on. You know, both on and off the football field. And I think he respects that, you know, and a lot of that is done in front of those other guys. And I think they respect that, you know, and every day we sit there and we look at each other and we work our butts off. And, you know, and that's the mindset of an NFL football player. And I think it's the mindset of every, it needs to be the mindset of every coach as they go to work every single day trying to get these players better. That's all they want. And as long as I'm consistent in that respect, I think I'll have their respect.
What was your connection to John Fox to come to this staff or Adam Gase, or how did that all play out?
I think it kind of spidered out in a whole lot of different intangibles there. I think the main one for John Fox, though, was the running backs coach with Tennessee Titans, Sly Kroom. Okay, Sly Kroom was the head football coach of Mississippi State.
Yep.
Okay, prior to that, he was at the Green Bay Packers. I was quality control with the Green Bay Packers. When he took that job, I really wanted to be a part of that experience that he was getting ready to go through, being the first black head football coach in the SEC. So I left and went down there with him, and you know, very dedicated to him for allowing me to give that, you know, experience that with him, you know, but became very, very close to him. He's like a mentor to me, you know, almost a father figure to me, and really talked me out of being an NFL coach for years.
No kidding.
he really did. He tried to talk me out of this deal. And, you know, just thought I had a lot of good things going for me in the position that I was in at that time. Always gave me advice from a family perspective. And then when this opportunity came around, he spoke so highly of John Fox and, you know, and what he brought to the table, his approach and how he runs a football team, and told me he's definitely one of the best guys to work for, and assured me that I could raise my family and do this at the same time under a John Fox tutelage, you know, and that was very intriguing to me. And it took one phone call to hear John Fox and what his approach was and what his plans were for the Chicago Bears, and I really wanted to be a part of it. You know, obviously the tradition-rich history that this program brings, I've been very fortunate to be a part of programs like that, you know, Green Bay, Ohio State, now the Chicago Bears, and you know, the talk of him wanting to maintain that and the responsibility that comes along with that, I understand it, you know. And so when that opportunity presented itself, I just felt like it was really my duty at that time to take advantage of it.
Now, more of the Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox on News Radio 105.9 FM WBBM.
There's a sense of frustration. There's a sense of urgency. Just from the standpoint that, you know, a lot of it is self-inflicted.
That's Jared Allen summarizing the first couple of weeks of the NFL season. Back with Dan Drayton, the Bears running back coach, for a couple of minutes. You've had quite a coaching legacy put before you with the people that you've worked with, namely Urban Meyer.
Sure.
And true Bowling Green, Florida, and Ohio State.
That's right. Florida twice, actually.
Okay. So yeah. You guys must like each other. Trust each other.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what. The one thing you learn from Urban is you learn how to be diligent about your business. You learn how to be thorough. He demands this out of you on a daily basis. You learn how to recruit, that's for sure, you know, and you learn how to raise young men. He will not hire, if you look at the history of Urban Meyer, he doesn't hire a coach who is not a family man, not married or anything like that, because he believes you're not a good coach until you're a parent. You understand what it is to raise your own kids, and that's the way he wants to go about business. When you're coaching those young men. So that thought process alone was an immediate fit for me.
A success throughout your life as a football player, national champion at Division III Allegheny College, All-American there. You win national championships at Ohio State,
yeah.
Florida. Feels good to be a winner, huh? So you know what it takes.
It does. You know, my guys laugh at me when they hear about me being a Division III athlete, you know, but I was pretty good for my for my little Division III.
You tell them three-time All-American. It doesn't matter where. You're an All-American and you're the all-time leading rusher there, or number two all-time leading rusher.
I just tell them to Google me nowadays. That's what they say. Just Google me.
Well, you've had some names, and we don't have much time. We got to go here, but Brian Westbrook at Villanova.
Absolutely.
You know, one of the great NFL players of the Eagles. Jarius Norwood at Mississippi State. Everybody knows Ezekiel Elliott last year in the national title, and Carlos Hyde getting a chance with the San Francisco 49ers. Ready to break out.
Yeah, they're all different, too. They're all different, and they all had great work ethic, and I just appreciate the experience that they gave me as a coach.
We appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
Here with John Fox on what he saw when looking back at the tape of yesterday's game.
Well, I think, you know, our effort and, you know, staying into the game, you know, all the things that you kind of look for whenever you have a loss, you know, I think we're clean. We just have to execute better. You know, I don't think losing our starting quarterback right before half was a real benefit. You know, but you have to adjust and move on. So I think that's something that we'll look at this week as we evaluate Jay's injury. And, you know, we've got some other injuries that we'll be looking at. Hopefully no more Wednesday.
New ones or just the ones you're still working through from
weren't active last week.
Okay. Yeah, don't scare me now.
No.
Don't want to hear any more injuries. But, you know, this quote I saw from Bill O'Brien, his team also 0-2 down in Houston. He said, 0-2, he goes, the league is about adversity.
That's the quote, and no truer words have been spoken. Everybody's got something.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of teams 0-2. You know, there was teams last year that were 0-2 that actually finished pretty well. So, we'll take that approach. We need to get better, and I believe we will.
The message being spoken, obviously, it's not for the benefit so much of answering questions from the press corps and so forth, but your guys have to think that and believe that also.
No doubt. Yeah, I think,
so how do you get there? How do you get there?
Well, nobody comes rescues you. You know, you can talk about injuries. You can talk about adversity. You can talk about morale. You know, all that stuff really doesn't mean much. It's what you do and what you do on Sundays. And I think, our goal will be to come back here Wednesday when we form back up again and, go about our business in preparation in the week's work. And that usually leads to how you play.
As a head coach, when you stand before your team, you've done it for so many years, three decades almost, in terms of your coaching career. Does the message, how do you keep the cliche out and get to the essence when you're talking to those guys eyeball to eyeball, standing in front of them in the meeting room after games, win or lose? What do you come up with?
Just very honest. You know, I mean, this game's about what to do, how to do it, meaning the technique you do it, and be able to operate under pressure. And I think where you gain and get better and gain the confidence it takes to do that under pressure is in practice, in preparation. So we have to do a better job of coaching it, and our players have to do a better job of executing.
You had said it today, Jay Cutler, strained hamstring. As you looked at the play, you know, he's got to try. He's got to try to make the stop on the play, and that's the one thing that probably makes coaches cringe across the league, because a bunch of quarterbacks are hurt in the first 2 weeks of the season already for various reasons. But in that situation, you got to go try and make the tackle.
Yeah, I think...
No way not.
Yeah, I mean, what would be the reaction if he stood there and watched him score?
He'd be ripped.
Yes, yeah. So, again, these guys are all competitors, and, you don't want the guy to go blow up a wedge or something if there's two linemen coming down there at him. But, I think it was a legit effort that he tried to get the guy out of bounds and wasn't able to do it and, strained a hamstring in the process.
It sounds like, from what you had to say earlier today, and some national reports think they have the information already on how long he may or may not be out, but it sounds more short-term than long-term. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, it's really simple. I mean, it's very simple. If he's healthy, he plays and starts. If he's not, Jimmy Clausen is. I don't think it's a mystery. I don't think the Seahawks are wondering what might happen. And, it's one of the two things, and you plan for both.
I'll tell you, when you mentioned coming in, when you talk to your team about games, win or lose, and stand before them, and, how you overcome some things, boy, Jimmy Clausen and any backup quarterback out there, when you're thrown into that situation, nothing simple about it, but over the course of the series that he started to execute, did you see some settling down and better communication and a deep breath, so to speak, for Jimmy?
Well, I think it was, any live rep is good experience. I think, there's no doubt that Jimmy, given the game plan from day one, if he's the guy, just like Jay, we'd expect, any player.
All right, that's Bears head coach John Fox, along with running back coach Dan Drayden. That's going to wrap us up. I'm Jeff Joniak. Thanks to Greg Miller, Andy Gersher, and Keith Johnson. Bears Seahawks, Sunday. Exclusive pregame coverage underway at noon. Kickoff 3:25. This is News Radio on 105.9 FM. Good night, everybody.